just wanted to comment on the question Wayne's just asked on what is the, you know, how would business model tell you what measurement basis to use. I think certainly for quoted financial asset, or some of our members would say any financial asset, business model probably may not be relevant. However, I think if we accept that we've got several measurement bases, all of which are likely to have some relevance, there could be situations where perhaps I personally would see business model as helping determine which is the most relevant basis in a particular situation.
Russell.
I agree with what Ken said about, I mean, I don't think we'd see this as being a free-for-all. You'd need to put principles down which did actually say this is when you can use this measurement basis. I mean, Wayne's question about are we just coming up with a less rude description than management intent? I don't believe so. I think management intent has become a pejorative term to be used when you get these sort of problems, when management flicks a gain through its income statement by intending to do something which is all a bit flaky. I think the concept of a business model is rather deeper than that and reflects the whole raison d'etre for that business existing. It reflects the organizational structures, it reflects the controls, it reflects management, it reflects governance, it reflects the way that business operates. And I do believe that is a quite sound basis for at least considering all of that and then deciding what information you want to convey and which measurement attributes actually best convey it. So I do think it's different from management in intent, and I think it is worth looking at.
Follow up on that, because it's something that Simon said too, that it seems that we are going to have to, some of this is going to be both asset specific and industry specific, because the things that people want to know about particular kinds of assets and particular kinds of industries are going to be different. So I think Bridget said earlier that if you're looking at a financial institution, practically the whole balance sheet is operating. So you're not going to end up with the same kind of split that you might find in a normal company, whatever that is, where most of the financial instrument stuff is actually part of managing financing and capital, so that there would be different information content about those things. So it sounds to me like we are going to end up having to try to come up with principles that help people decide this. But then this actually is going to have more, the model that we're looking at, it is not going to have probably significantly fewer attributes in use than we've got now. If you look at it that way, so I guess the question that I'm kind of struggling with, people said, well, geez, we've already got however many all listed, and we could probably come up with a bunch more if we tried real hard. Is that going to be a concern to people, that there continues to be that many measurement bases in use? I don't think the board ever thought for a single minute that we would ever get to a single measurement attribute. It's certainly not in the short run, because we've already gotten to where we are, and the chances of us going back on a number of these things are not great. But does it trouble people that the result of this project may not be, over time as standards are written, that we don't actually eliminate a couple of them?
Brings me right back to the start when I said families. I think you could actually narrow this down to about four families. So if you take sort of historical cost, with or without transaction cost, you make a decision on that. You know, so, but you know why you're doing it.
Mary? Mary?
Sorry.
Right off the bat.
That was quick. I thought I would. I just to follow on your comment that didn't strike me until you said it, is it would have to be some kind of industry because as Bridget said, for a financial institution, most of their balance sheet is operating. The earlier conversation seemed to suggest that when something was operating, we didn't want any kind of current values because in operations we wanted to do something else. But I guess maybe I'm just assuming this, that in a financial institution we might want current values for those financial assets and liabilities, and therefore the operating, non-operating distinction by itself does not determine the measurement attribute. You'd have to go beyond that and try to figure out what type of operations this is, and that might be industry or might be some other criteria. I don't know what that might be.
Richard?
Yep, I think you are going to end up with a number of measurement attributes, and I don't think you should worry too much about that. I mean, obviously they have got to be, there's got to be clear rules about when they're to be applied in each case, and I think that's what you said you were trying to reach with this project, was to move from the case where you have no guidance and no sort of consistent basis of choosing one or the other apparently in your conceptual framework to something where you have got some guidance as to what to use at the when. And I think it's not only, there are clearly going to be multiples because I think with anyone, you may get a hierarchy of this is what you'd like, this would be the ideal you would aim for, but you accept that in certain circumstances, that's not going to be available or it's not going to be applicable to that particular case. You may have just historical cost. You may have at the cost. You may be able to identify the cost of the original asset, or it may be a question of allocating a block of cost to the assets. I mean, that's just a question of fact. You're going to have those two available to deal with the different circumstances. I think certainly on the current values, I think what a lot of people find very difficult is where you have current values where they are either barely available at all to you, so they don't really represent options that the management can have, or are ones that you are very unlikely to use because they are somehow, if we've been talking a lot about assets, but liabilities, where you have liabilities that currently, which might have a current value, but their current values you are very unlikely to use. So we'll need a hierarchy there. If the current value of the liability in the marketplace, the value which you could offload the liability is much, much more than the value you reckon that you can get by seeing the thing through a performance value, then you're going to want to use that one. There's going to be a multiple of cases, I think, inevitably.
Jerome?
Lacan, I think if you are able to identify families and understand what they're worth, then you will automatically eliminate some of the options that currently exist. For example, historical cost and transaction cost. Should there be transaction costs or not? I don't see any reasons why you could have both methods. So once you've identified why you are using those, then you'll be able to define the characteristics of those, and that will eliminate, per se, a number of options that currently exist.
Russell, did you want to come back in? Okay.
I have a question I'd like to direct to Bridget and maybe to Keith. Bridget, because she's an analyst, and Keith, because I suspect in your industry this is something you're analyzed against. A lot of analysts tell us that one of their prime analytical tools is EBITDA. And Bridget, you had said you add back depreciation. If I take a look at an industry that is evaluated based on EBITDA, that tends to be the asset-intensive industries, what does that tell me about how I should report assets on the balance sheet and how they should be measured? How should we think about that problem? I honestly don't know, but it ought to tell me something. Bridget?
I think if you speak to most of our analysts that are looking at EBITDA, they'll tell you they don't really look at the balance sheet very much. They're looking at EBITDA because it's the nearest proxy they get from the information that's currently providing financial statements to cash flow. If they had a really good detailed cash flow statement, they probably wouldn't look at EBITDA in the first place. They'll be looking at real cash flows. Now, when they look at the cash flow statement, the EBITDA equivalent part of a cash flow there is the operating part of a cash flow. What you're talking about, the assets and the depreciation part, they'd be looking at in terms of the actual amounts that have been invested in the assets that they're going to use. So they'd be looking for three different things coming out of a cash flow. And those, I think you go to the balance sheet to work out what was happening and use the depreciation charge and the impairment to work out when you're going to have to replace that. But we're really interested in when the cash flow is needed to go out for those big lumpy items for reinvestment.
I can probably agree a lot with what Bridget said, in that it really is then a cash flow view, that there are cash flows from investing, where you invest in the assets, obviously financing, where you fund the money, and then the cash flows on the return from those investments. The EBITDA is obviously just a surrogate for the cash flow from the operations. So again, it's that matching of, let's say, the business model with the various categories in the different financial statements. Again, that thread then between the balance sheet, income statement, cash flow, and the policies on that. But that really is the predominant view on the EBITDA, that the assets, I guess, once you spent the money, are not particularly relevant on an ongoing basis. They are, of course, to say that was the cash out, now we would expect the cash in over time to match us, but not particularly relevant at that balance sheet date.
But you are looking at the depreciation to give you a hint about when the next big lumpy out is. So. The best that kind of getting the closest thing is probably replacement cost, and then when you're going to have to spend it.
You want to know what the lumpy out was going to be, right?
Well, yes, but I didn't think you gave forward-looking information. Sorry. I didn't think you gave forward-looking information in financial reporting. I mean, if you could get management to comment, and it's one point where rather than looking just at the financial statements, we look at financial reporting. The number that would be most interesting is what the management is commenting on. It's going to need to spend on investment in real cash terms and when.
I agree. And also, I think it's quite relevant to show the, let's say, again, the historical performance on the cash, that you've always, the cash out has always been matched by the operating cash flows in the future. You can kind of get a feel for that. I mean, of course, in the cement industry, our next asset is about 50 years away, so it's probably not too relevant.
Have we exhausted ourselves? And we've been so good we get out early, is that it? Anybody got any other comments before we close? If not, thank you all very much for coming. It's been, I think, a most interesting and informative discussion, and we look forward to the other two later today, and thanks for the help early in the project.